Happy ordinary time. We finally made it through the Christmas season, and now we are in the season of ordinary time. And as I always like to remind everybody, there is nothing ordinary about it. And in this case, the word ordinary in church terms does not mean something plain and simple. Well, first of all, within the season of Christmas and Easter, we look at a particular aspect of Jesus. You know, his birth and his resurrection, and of course, all the penitential times before that. But in the season of ordinary time, we look at a wider aspect of Jesus' ministry. And again, it's not plain. The word ordinary derives from the word ordinal, to count. And there are how many weeks in ordinary time? I'm going to tell Sister. 34. And we're on the second week. We're starting week two. And oh, by the way, in the three-year cycle, A, B, C, A, B, C, we're in year B now. And for daily mass, we're in cycle two. I know it's confusing, but for the daily mass cycle, it's easy. If it's an even year, then we're in year two. If it's an odd year, then we're in year one. So we have now this short time here in ordinary time before the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. Do you know what day Ash Wednesday begins? Valentine's Day, February 14th. And we've already got a message from the bishop. For all you lovers out there that want to celebrate Valentine's Day, there will be no dispensation. You have to follow the prescripts of canon law and observe a day of fast and abstinence. But of course, traditionally, the day before Ash Wednesday is Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. So that would be your opportunity to, you know, partake of the celebration of Mardi Gras and Fat Tuesday, and also to woo your loved one. How often do you pray? How often do you sit down or kneel down and pray? Now, here in this celebration of the Mass, in all liturgies, liturgy in its many forms is an awesome way to pray. But if somebody asks you, what is your prayer life like? What is your response? Now, we can have deep discussions about this and go down to the Clovis and talk about all this. But the average response for the average Catholic might be, well, I go to Mass, I pray the Rosary, I pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I read the Bible, I reread religious articles, I read tracts, and that's about it. Do you actually spend time, quiet time, in prayer and listen? In the 21st century, we live in a world of distraction and noise and a constant attempt to overstimulate our senses. Walk into any warehouse store, whether it's Costco or Sam's or BJ's, and what is the first thing you see after you, you know, let the door clerk, you know, check your membership card, you know? But 70-inch flat panel televisions, more pixels, 4K and 8K and OLED and QLED and more letters than a gender rights campaign. It's noise, noise, and more noise. Where is the silence? Because the mute button on the remotes only turns off the sound, but you still got the picture, right? Silence not only in the ears, but in the heart as well. Even for me, that can be difficult. I think I've told you this before. I can't pray in my own church. You know, you sit down and, you know, the lights are off. The lights need to be on. The sanctuary candle is burned out. You know, it's, you know, the doors are open. They should be closed. And sure enough, I'm in quiet prayer. And some guy comes up to behind me and say, Father, can you hear my confession? I jumped out of my seat because he yelled it at me. So I go to other places where they don't know me, you know. Even then, it's difficult. I suffer from tinnitus, constant ringing in the ears, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life. I need background distractions, white noise, to help mask the noise that my brain is creating. So I wear hearing aids that generate white noise so I can now live a somewhat normal hearing life. The psychological term is called habituation, growing accustomed to stimulation, to a situation or stimulus, thereby diminishing the effect. I have learned to tune out the noise that is constant in my ears. And now that I'm talking about it, I can actually hear it again. Can you learn to ignore and tune out the distraction in your life so that you can hear God? You know, he speaks to us mostly in soft whispers and sometimes with the blunt end of a 2x4 just to get your attention. You know, it may happen in your life. It's happened in my life. But even then, when God talks to us in that way, we may not even realize it's him. Where do we hear him? Well, here in this celebration of the Eucharist, we hear him in the Word, in the Eucharist, in the priest, and in the people around you. That's the four presences of Jesus Christ in the celebration of the Mass. You'll hear him in the world around you. Again, are you paying attention? Contemplative prayer is the most difficult form of prayer. Why? Too many distractions. Can you learn to tune them out so you can tune in to God? Our first reading today is the same first reading for last Wednesday's daily Mass. We have old Eli and a very young Samuel. During the time young Samuel was minister to the Lord under Eli, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. One day, Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he could not even see. Here, the Lord has chosen to make his revelation less common, not to speak in certain times. Sometimes he chooses not to speak with us. How do we know the times he is not speaking with us when we are not even listening to him when he does speak to us? Mother Teresa experienced spiritual dryness in her life. God was not talking to her. Did she stop praying? Did she stop building the kingdom? Did she stop ministering to the people in the streets in India? No. That is why she is Saint Teresa of Calcutta. You see, God will test our faith. And if you need an example, read the book of Job. Here is a man who had everything, and it was all taken away from him. Yet he remained faithful to the end, and he was greatly rewarded for his faith. How often does Jesus say in the Gospels, when he performs a miracle, "Your faith has saved you"? It will be tested. We will experience suffering in our lives. We will experience tragedy in our lives. We will feel as if we have been abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? We've heard that before, right? Being tested, our faith will grow stronger. When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." When we finally hear him, can we respond in the same way as Samuel, as we proclaimed in our responsorial psalm, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." I can help you get started to tune into God, okay? You're here at Mass. That's great. Next week, bring more family. Bring more friends, okay? You were also baptized. Remember, you're a priest, you're a prophet, you're a king. Exercise those offices. Pray the rosary. Confess your sins. Now here's the hard parts. Listen to God in silence. 5 minutes a day. And when you master that, go up to 10 minutes a day. And when you master that, go up to 20 a day. It's called a holy hour for a reason. It lasts an hour. Can you sit in silence and pray with the Lord for an hour? John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Two disciples heard and followed Jesus, not hearing him just with their ears, but with their hearts. And they knew it was him and wanted to know where he was staying. You know where he's staying? Right here in your hearts, if you let him in. When you pray in silence, listen in time, in God's time, he will answer. And our response has to be, "Lord, here I am. I come to do your will."